Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Delighted to be joined now by Dara Cleary, TD, Minister of State for Trade Promotion and Digital Transformation. And he's a TD from another county over there in Mayo. But we welcome him here to Sligo this morning. Dara, you're very welcome to the programme.
Bobby, you're welcome. You're welcome to paradise. I'm only 10 minutes up the road, so this is part of my growing up.
This is your old stamping ground.
Indeed, so And you're welcome to paradise. You're welcome to Caladavay, Tenniscrone, to Moy Valley.
I'm really enjoying it.
Good.
I have to say, it's a beautiful part of the world, and we've had nothing but the finest welcome from
the
wonderful
lovely buzz
people
here. But the buzz you see here is the buzz that's here all year round. There's a fantastic energy. You're getting a sense of it here this morning. It's brilliant in this area at the moment.
We were having a look at the general area this morning, Dara, about what was good, and it seems that lots of things are really, really good about Enniscrone and its surrounds in terms of, it's been on the Wild Atlantic Way, prosperity around tourism, even the golf club here, and beyond that, it's just been coupled with that. It's such a nice place to live. So in one sense, it has everything. I presume you'd concur with that.
Absolutely, but being a nice place to live doesn't pay the bills either. So what you've got aligned here is just a fantastic spirit, a can-do attitude. You're here in the golf club right from its inception. I remember as a kid this clubhouse here being a lot smaller and the course itself a lot smaller. It's being driven on right around the town here, right around the region. There's a fantastic sense of driving it on, using our natural resources to the best of our abilities.
Yeah, I've talked to Michael Ring, Michael Healy-Ray, and again, I asked the same question to yourself around, do you resent, I suppose, local policy being dictated from D4 or
absolutely
the kind of Dublin thing that sort
absolutely
of people are telling you how it should be?
I heard you giving out an announcement for St. Patrick's Day in Dunleary next week, the first in 60 years. And I thought to myself, there's never not been a St. Patrick's Day parade around here.
Yeah.
And that's what matters, community spirit. And yeah, we do things differently around here. We like to get things done. We know we have to do things ourselves at times. And that's why that spirit and that attitude is here. And I think the best thing government can often do is support it and get out of its way and let it continue and let it prosper.
Yeah. And so is there a frustration on your part ever that, that you have to fight for everything in the regions and that you're competing against, the big juggernaut that is Dublin and its surrounds?
So it can be frustrating. We need a capital city, but I was canvassing in Donnybrook there 2 weeks ago, and the complaints were they had no post office, they had no local shops, no local transport service. And I thought to myself, geez, it could be at home,
Yeah.
But you got a sense this morning as well of the positives. And we're continuing to invest. There's a huge investment here in Enniscrone, the new prom, the new town square. We've just invested $7 million in restoring a 400-year-old military barracks in Ballinas, new IQ Ballinar, a new innovation centre. There's $600 million going into the N5 from Balladreen to Strokesund to make it easier.
We were in Ballina only a few weeks ago, and again, great energy and great to see it. Tell us this: Are you delighted to be back in frontline politics?
I wasn't gone away. I wasn't necessarily.
So you told us on the 6-1
I wasn't necessarily in the first 15. But yeah, it's good. I'm back in enterprise, which is my space. It's phenomenal stuff happening in digital at the moment. I'm engaging a lot with around AI. The challenges that has, artificial intelligence, just to be clear for what it is, and also the opportunities. There's massive opportunities, and especially digital for small businesses, for small communities. We're investing €80 million at the moment in digital transition funds to allow small businesses, the work Louise is helping small businesses do.
Yeah.
It is enormous opportunities for small business and for small communities. And we want to make sure everybody harnesses that opportunity. Trade. We are still, despite our economic success on a macro level, we are very dependent on trade, and we've got to keep that offer keen. We've got to keep our inward investment offer keen. We could do with more of them in this region, absolutely, but a couple of weeks ago, we turned the sod on Dexcom in Athenry, 1,000 jobs, the biggest job announcement last year in the country coming to the west of Ireland.
Do you worry about our competitiveness? I know there's all sorts of surveys that say we're really competitive, but often when you look at it on the ground, and you hear people talking about, you know, the cost of living in other jurisdictions, that, you know, Ireland has become a hugely expensive place to live and work.
So, yeah, we absolutely do. We are an expensive place to work in. Housing is a huge challenge at the moment. We're trying to address that. We'll do 32,000-33,000 this year. We're going to up that. We're about to invest 250 million or so in the next few weeks in small businesses around the country, giving them support towards increased costs of business. We have had good engagement in the last few weeks with hospitality, with retail, around the cost increases of the last few months and how we can work with them through that.
Yeah.
Equally, though, everything that, a lot of stuff that we've done in terms of improving workers' rights, improving the attractiveness of work, is also important. And we've got to keep that balance that, you know, we invest in employment, invest in employees' rights. A low-cost destination can often mean lesser rights and lesser obligations on the part of the employer.
Okay.
Just to get the balance.
Now, we're here in a golf club, the wonderful golf club that it is, and it's grown. You don't play golf, is that right?
No, I've kind of gone off it. I've kind of gone off it. I admire the patience of golfers. I don't have any patience. And I might as well take it up because I have the name for it.
And I didn't want to bring you back to that target, but politics can be a pretty bruising place. And I think you found out to your cost, unfortunately. And you did the honourable thing. You fell on your sword after 37 days in office. But it when you look back on that now, Dara, was it a storm in a teacup? Many people think it was. Did you pay too high a price for what was?
No, it was a mistake on my part. And I think you have to go back at the time that we were in. And I wouldn't change anything I've done. And it was very, very difficult. But equally, as difficult as it was at the time, I'm lucky to live in a community like this because I had massive support from my community, from my family, from my wife. I have to say a big hello to my aunt who's listening,
yeah.
To Mary, who's one of your biggest fans. So hi, Mary.
And, glad there's a few.
I wouldn't have got through that without that support network that comes from living in a community like this.
Yeah.
And I also very conscious I let that community down. So we've worked incredibly hard over the last 3 years to make up for that. Drive on. I'm part of the way back. I'm not fully there yet, but I intend to be.
Okay, well, we're good to hear you in such fighting form. And thanks for joining us here this morning. Just before you go, we heard from Barry White there on the referendum. I was sort of surprised at the no vote, or certainly the trends that are pointing towards that.
No, I've seen it in the last 10 days or so. You know, I was engaged in a lot of meetings around it. It was a hard referendum to sell. The last couple of referendums we've had around marriage equality or around changing the Eighth Amendment, there was going to be a very definite outcome and a very definite change. This one was harder to envisage what the change would be. And, you know, you were dealing with a lot of scenarios and people were trying to work through scenarios that had nothing to do with the referendum in many cases. So I've just noticed in the last 10 days or so that there was a big change.
It's interesting. It's very hard to sell something that's opaque in any way.
Yeah.
That's
and that doesn't take away. We have obligations and rights and commitments now to carers that have to be followed through, to families that have to be followed through. So that won't change. But it was more of a concept you were selling rather than a definitive change. People are very protective of the Constitution. They're very protective of what goes into it. And people who engaged in it were protective of the language around the Constitution.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure to catch up with you this morning, Dara. Dara Cleary, ladies and gentlemen, one of your own. Yep.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.